independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Let Obamacare fail, and then everybody's going to have to come together and fix it and come up with a new plan, and a plan that's really good for the people with much lower premiums, much lower costs.
Well, you're not doing it anytime soon. If you didn't hear, they failed 164 years. This is the most unproductive Congress in 164 years. They got a lot of excuses, so for that, they lead. Congratulations, but you get nothing for that. And what do we get as customers? And again, I use that phrase. We'll continue to do so. I am a customer. What do we get? We get failure. That's what we get. Mitch McConnell could not pull it together. Now we're in a situation where we're going to be sitting around and looking and saying, what's next when it comes to health care?
This is a worst case scenario for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Two more senators have announced that they also cannot support the Senate version of health care reform. That is Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas and Senator Mike Lee of Utah. That brings the number of four Republican senators who say they cannot support this bill. That is not enough for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to even get this bill to the floor, much less get it passed.
Not going to get passed. There it is. So for 8 years, the Republicans played offense against this health care. I didn't like health care and where it was going for one simple reason, because government involved usually means we get screwed, things get more expensive, and things aren't very good. See VA hospital, how it works, understand it, feel it, touch it, know it, go. But my frustration got put on the back burner, if you will. I was frustrated, but I thought, okay, you know what? We're going to give this thing a shot. See what happens. Because I can't make a fair judgment on Obamacare till I see it in full effect. Lots of waivers. Lots of people didn't have to participate in it for the first several years. Then finally, everybody got to participate and had to participate in it. And lo and behold, what did we see? Massive premiums. Health insurance companies going, there's too many sick people. We can't insure all these people. We're losing money. People dropping out by the companies leaving. Aetna and all these companies pulling out. Some places in the country like Ohio may not even have an insurer. Then you say, okay, well, it's failing. It's unsustainable. We always knew it was going to be, but you can't make a full judgment until you see the entire thing. We saw it. Now the Republicans got everything they wanted. They're the presidency. It's theirs. They got the House. They got the Senate. They got the whole nine yards. This is it. They couldn't do a damn thing. Because what you do is you give people an entitlement, and you find out in life you can't take the entitlement back. It ain't coming back. Right? Hey, use this for a while. See how you like it. It's going to be great. And guess what? They don't want to give it up. Try to take Social Security away. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. You can't take it away. And that's what they're learning. It's a win for the Democrats. They have got what they wanted. The first step of being entrenched in our lives when it comes to the medical world, our health care, it has happened, and they are now entrenched, and the Republicans couldn't figure it out. 8 years. Now, there's been some comings and some goings, so it can't just be like these are the same group of people. But by and large, 8 years, this is what they have, and they delivered us nothing. A big pile of steaming The Democrats, they put it there, and the Republicans stepped in it, and now they own it. What'd you get on your shoe? Healthcare. Oh, geez, Chad, you sound so negative. I'm honest. I'm honest. You can say what you want, that you're going to fight, you're going to do this, that, and the other, but the truth is, right now, it's dead on arrival, and there's not a lot they're going to be able to do with it.
There's some other things going on right now as we speak, but I am disappointed because for so many years I've been hearing repeal and replace. I'm sitting in the Oval Office, pen in hand, waiting to sign something.
That you're not going to have a chance to sign, not anytime soon. You have moderates who are going home and they're talking to their constituents who have now enjoyed this entitlement and say you can't take it away. You can't take it away. You can't do it. And these are people who are in places where, quite frankly, it's not red, it's purple. And so they've got to understand that. Some states, they've seen it. Hey, it's worked in some states, is what they're saying. A lot of other states, it's failed. Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and these guys want this, this, and this. Rand Paul wants it all gone. Moderates saying you can't do that. The entitlement is entrenched in our lives now. We're one step closer to a single-payer system. And if you want to see, and I'm telling you guys this right now, if you want to see the gap in wealth, wait till there's a single-payer system and quote-unquote, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, everything's equal. Because if you think that's true, you are fooling yourself. That is not true. Everything will not be equal. In fact, it'll be more out of balance than ever before. Because if you think somebody who is upper middle class or wealthy or rich or whatever you want to call them, well-to-do, is going to sit around and wait in line, being herded in and out of medical offices, told what to do, when to do, how to do it, where to go, who to see, you are fooling yourself. But this is what they want. Healthcare, Obamacare style, was never healthcare. It was a law. It was a law that was meant to be here to withstand judgments, to withstand anything it faced in court battles. It was never meant for any of the things that I think a lot of people thought. But it made people who struggled to get health care feel good because they had the opportunity to get health care. And they were sick and they got to go see the doctor and they feel better and they don't want that taken away. And a lot of people have been affected by that. And it's tough. But the whole, hey, let's throw it all out, you just can't do it. Mitch McConnell, no matter how smart he is, and I can't blame him for this. There are so many things that go into it. This isn't just, we're done, let's get rid of it, and we'll start all over and go back the way it was. It doesn't work that way. A lot of people think it is. It's just a snap of the fingers. Everybody comes to the trough. They all want to feed. The healthcare industry is not going to sit there and allow them to do anything that is going to affect their bottom line any more than it already has. And they want to be fed. They want to be fed. There are so many things that are involved in this. There are puzzle pieces, more puzzle pieces. There's an obstacle course. There are so many things that are involved in this. And it's a tough, tough fix.
This task would not be easy. We understood it would not come quickly. But we knew that it was the right thing to do, so we pushed forward. I believe we must continue to push forward now.
Yeah. And it's frustrating, man. It is so frustrating. And it's going to continue to be frustrating. It's going to continue to be a nightmare. And this is what people are talking about. There's a YouGov poll that is out right now. And it talks about what both Democrats, Republicans, and independents as well are worried about: healthcare, economy, money situation. Those things are top of the mind. Doesn't matter. Russia is way down the list. Nobody cares. This is important to people. And the confusion and the chaos of what they have caused and the failure to do so is going to frustrate the hell out of people. So what do you do at this point in time? You sit back and you say, we'll see what you guys can give us in a few months. Because now you got to work on some other stuff. And behind the scenes, you're going to have to try to carve out something else. The whole thought process of we're just going to repeal it, replace it, it's going to be fine, that's just not it.
All of us promised we would repeal Obamacare, and the discussion is whether or not to move forward to a vote on that. I'm in favor of the motion to proceed to repealing Obamacare.
And here's the other thing. There's pride on the line. Democrats are going to fight tooth and nail, obstruct, ignore, and laugh, and do nothing as far as lifting a finger, knowing full well there are a lot of people out there that, yes, they've benefited. People who were sick, people who struggled, people who couldn't get insurance benefited tremendously off this. But there's a lot of people out there, a lot of people, especially the middle class, which they swear to God they're there only to help the middle class, and that's what they're about, who've struggled because they've seen their premiums rise to the roof, they've seen their hours reduced at work, they've seen a lot of things go against them, and that paycheck to paycheck is being stretched out. They've seen choices that people have to make of whether or not, do I pay this, do I pay that, do I just insure the kids and we don't insure ourselves? They're not doing anything. They're going to sit back and they're going to go, we'll let it go, because this is about legacy as well. And this is about my team versus your team, when it should be about the American people and the customers, us. They still have done nothing to address the issues of cost. the ridiculousness of how much it costs to go to the hospital and to see what potentially, you know what, you look and you find out, oh, that arm cuff that you guys had to change every 2 hours cost me $300. And it's fine. It could have lasted 10 days, but you guys change it every 3 hours and you charge me $300. Are you insane? That aspirin's $10? Where did you get that aspirin? I'm just curious. Is it gold? Is it magic? These are the things that need to be addressed, but they're not being addressed. They're not. Once again, none of that was. This was about how do we make everybody happy who's got to vote for it? How do we give people and buy off their votes to bring them in? How do we make the big donors and the big lobbyists in the healthcare world happy and make sure that if we keep it kind of the same, that we can bail them out when they find out they still have to go out there and do what? Insure people that are sick, who are going to sign up today, go use it tomorrow. They're going to pay $100, if that, because they're getting a subsidy. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, they're costing them $20,000 a month in fake numbers. Because remember, it really didn't cost that much, but the fake numbers. So we have to have a bailout for them as a just in case. Everybody's at the trough getting fed. And we're back here starving. This was the plan all along, though. You can't move to a single payer without breaking the old system. And the old system is on its way to breaking. And that sucks for all of us. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Tweet at us, at Chad Benson Show. That's at Chad Benson Show. We got your urban word of the day. A lot of stuff about O.J. I've got a neat perspective about O.J. and what took place in 1994 that I think is very relevant to where we are in today in our culture and our entertainment and across the board. But we're going to talk about that. We've got breakup counselors. We've got the newest athletic-ish endeavor that will be far bigger than you people listening out there will actually think about. And we'll touch on that as well. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Your urban word of the day. I love this. You guys ready? Verbal handcuffs. Many of you know exactly what this is, but you didn't know there was a saying for it. It's when you're sitting there and somebody's talking with you, and you could care less about what they're talking about, and you have given signals that you could care less about what they're... You've checked out, essentially, but they're still talking to you. Your empty stares are ignored. You're looking at your watch. You're checking your phone. You're doing everything, and you're answering in one-word phrases. But you are verbally handcuffed, and you must listen to their horrible, horrible story. Don't let that happen to you, kids. Break the verbal handcuff and just run away. Just look at them and say, look, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I know it doesn't affect me. I wish you all the best. I have to go. That's how you break your urban word of the day. Verbal handcuff. Boom!
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
Legislation which will throw 22 million Americans off of the health care they currently have.
That right there, Bernie Sanders, the cantankerous old man, who said 22 million Americans will be thrown off health care. Well, you know what, Bernie? Nobody's getting thrown off squidoosh. What you had yesterday, you've got today. What you have today, you'll have tomorrow and going forward, at least for now. Nothing is getting fixed. Nothing is getting done. Congratulations. Your piling steam of Obamacare, which the Republicans stepped into, and now it smells on them, is still right there in my sidewalk, and nobody's cleaning it up. I want you to understand, nobody is cleaning up the piling steam of Obamacare that's right there. Just putting it out there. Now the Republicans have trotted in it, and they're getting it all over the place. This is not good. Not good. pointing that out to you. Not good. I'm going to touch on the Russia thing for a minute or two, because quite frankly, my give a damn about Russia is broken. I don't know. What I do know is there seems to be a lot of people in a meeting area with Don Jr. Now an eighth person has come forward, and I said earlier today, it seems to me like a clown car. Like every time we go ready to close the door, another little itty-bitty clown gets out of the car, and now there's a new clown that's come out of the car. I don't know who this clown is, nor do I care. This is it. This is Russia right here. It's a clown car. It's very little. People are coming out. It's an oligarch. You don't know him. He was once a C. He was once part of the KGB and all the bad Russian stuff that he did back then. But now he's good. Right? The clown car is open door to come out. There you go. Another one. Ladies and gentlemen, coming out the clown car now is another person. Who is it? Oh, look, it's an industrialist who happened to one time be a person who worked for the government of the Kremlin when it was the Soviet Union. He's not that way no more. I don't know who it is. I don't. What I do know is I don't care. Until I see there, I don't care. So hair. It was before Russia became the Russia story. It was before any of the crap that happened. We have still yet to see anybody from the Russian government in come out and say, yes, we actually contacted Donald, spoke with him on numerous occasions, and this was a big fix and plan. None of that is going on. Frustration? Absolutely. I get it. I understand why people are, you know, it's a little peculiar because every time we turn around, I don't know how many people can get in that room, but I guess we're going to find out. But, I don't care. And most of America doesn't care. I talked to a lot of people this weekend. You know how many people cared about Russia? None. And one of them was a Russian. Didn't care. So there is my Russia report for the day. I don't care is my report. O.J. Simpson could be free. That means the juice would be loose. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
A factor in O.J. Simpson's favor, the Nevada Parole Board leans heavily on what are called risk assessment guidelines to make a decision on letting prisoners go. The lower the score, the better the chances for parole. Because of Simpson's age, now 70, because he has stayed out of trouble according to prison officials and records, the former football star is expected to score a mere 2 or 3 out of at least 12 points.
That's Paul Verkammen there from CNN talking about O.J. O.J. is coming up for parole. O.J.'s coming up for parole, and it's going to be a big deal. 1994, when all this stuff broke, the murder of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson, the way that all of this stuff broke. And I remember, I think all of us remember where we were, kind of what we were doing in that moment of the surreal, bizarre chase. Remember the chase? Right? Al Cowlings and him and the white Bronco, the whole nine yards, that bizarre, weird chase. And he's got like a mask and a gun and cash. And you just, it was so surreal. And I remember I was on my way to get tickets to the World Cup. The World Cup was getting ready to start the next day, I believe, in the U.S. here in California at the Rose Bowl. And I was on my way to get tickets. I had to pick up tickets because we had the, you know, at the time I was still playing. So I had friends who had made sure that I was taking care of my friends and I, so we go to the games. And so I went to pick up the tickets, and that's when the chase had kind of happened. I remember the Rockets game was on, and they were in it was the NBA Finals, and the chase was everywhere, and they had made a little square in the corner so you could watch the Rockets game in the NBA Finals because it was that big. It was the first real sense of this is reality TV. And that's kind of what we've become, right? The whole world has become reality TV. It is. But the surrealness of it all and the weirdness of OJ, and I don't think people realize, people were out in the middle of the street on and freeways cheering him on. Here's a guy who was wanted for double homicide, and they're cheering him on. They're cheering, go, 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 go. It was so weird. But now he's coming up for parole, and this had nothing to do with it. I actually, when I did the show this morning for my show in Sacramento, people say, I thought he was in jail because of this. No, he was acquitted. I think we realized that. I mean, the whole trial was on. Remember that? I mean, this was the trial of the century. This thing was huge. This had massive numbers. It was 24/7. It made some people's careers. It launched television shows. It did all of these things. And it was so weird. You know, it made, you know, Judge Ito and Marsha Clark and all of these people household names. It was so surreal, the whole thing. And then he was acquitted. And I think a lot of people don't know why he's in jail. Well, he's in jail because through all of that stuff, and we forget he also lost a civil trial by Mr. Goldman, Fred Goldman's dad, won a civil trial on OJ over the murders, because you don't have to have a, you know, there's not a unanimous kind of decision thing. And he won a civil trial of several millions of dollars, and he's collected some sporadically over time. But OJ has a pension, an NFL pension, that cannot be touched. It's in a trust, cannot be touched. And I don't know what's in there right now, but what I do know is he collects about anywhere between, you know, depending on what you read, anywhere between $18,000 and $25,000, I mean, $25,000 a month. So for these last 10 years, he's accrued probably $2+ million just sitting there. Maybe his family's had some access to it, not quite sure. So, you know, while all this stuff was going on, he was struggling. He wanted back some of his memorabilia. He felt he got jobbed. So him and like four guys went into a room where in Vegas, and they stuck a gun in somebody's face. OJ was not the guy with the gun. And in Nevada, that is kidnapping. And he was subsequently sentenced to prison. And he got a long time. He got a very long time in jail. Guess what? The other guys, they got nothing. They turned state's evidence, and one guy got something, and he ended up winning on appeal, saying, you guys convicted me because guilt by association. I just happened to be in the room. I didn't know what these guys were going to do. So it was crazy, but they threw the book at him. Well, Thursday, chance for him to be freed, and it wouldn't happen Thursday. It'll happen in October sometime, but a lot of people felt he's paid his debt to society. And people saying, well, wait a minute here. What about the whole, you know, murder thing? He was acquitted of that. Whether you believed it or not, he was acquitted of that. This has nothing to do. This is only about that moment in time in Vegas.
Another huge coup for Simpson. The victim of the armed robbery in a Las Vegas hotel room, Ballas, he'll testify for Simpson. Memorabilia dealer Bruce Fremont has repeatedly told me he will travel to the Lovelock prison so he can see Simpson face to face and then tell the parole board he thinks the former football star did too much time for the crime.
So, and it's very interesting the way that this has gone down. So remember, they're going to be, he's in a different prison. He's like 150 miles away. This is going to be in Carson City. There's going to be a bunch of people, you know, parole board people there, and they're going to, it's all going to be done via Skype. And he's been nothing but a role model of a citizen while inside prison. So there's really no reason for it. He's already failed one time, and this would be his second time of parole. And in Nevada, they don't like to give people the opportunity to get out on the first time of parole, especially in a crime like this and the nature of this. So there's a very good chance he's getting out. And people keep saying, well, what about the murders? What about the murders?
And worth reminding, the 1994 slayings of Simpson's ex-wife, Nicole, and her friend, Ron Goldman, will not be considered by the commissioners. Simpson was acquitted of those murders.
Can't be. I don't know if Fred Goldman's going. He can't speak. The victims of said crime, the one in which are allowed to speak, you already heard what one person is going to go and do, the person who was the victim, is going to go speak and said, wait a minute here, I think this has all gone too far. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, we flash forward, and Friday or Thursday they said, yeah, we're going to give you parole, and you're going to get out in October. who's first is the question. Who is first to say, I'm going to give you an interview. Here's the money that you're going to get for this. Remember, Fred Goldman has a judgment against him. So whatever he gets from here on out that doesn't have to do with his pension from the NFL and the trust is going to go to Fred Goldman, a good portion of it. So if he got $1 million, Fred may get 800 grand out of that. I'm sure it's accrued interest in the whole nine yards. This whole thing is crazy, but when is the reality show coming? Because we in America love this kind of stuff. We could say we don't, but it is our guilty pleasure, right? It is our guilty pleasure. It really is. It is our fast food. It is whatever you want to call it. This is what we enjoy. I don't watch much reality. I watch a lot of history stuff. I don't really, and I always joke, the first reality shows were documentaries, but they weren't shows. And people say, well, there's no way. There is no way. TLC, Bravo, all of these, they're all going to be coming at him. They're all going to be coming at him saying, let me do a show and we'll show everybody how much you've changed. Let us follow you and your family around. Let us show you. And he'll think to himself, man, this is a great way for me to ingratiate myself to a whole new audience and to show everybody that I have changed as a man. And it's insane. But you know somebody's going to come and offer it because people will watch. They're absolutely going to watch because that's what we are. We like the train wreck of society. We're going to pay attention to it. Mark my words, somebody's going to offer it. And how do you say no if you have a chance? Man, he must have, and he's been gone a while. Last time he knew Bruce Jenner, Bruce Jenner was Bruce Jenner. Imagine that. I'm just saying, Chad, that's rude. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Of course, we're still covering everything that's going on in D.C. is the failure by the Republicans to do what? Repeal and or replace Obamacare. Now what does Mitch McConnell do? He's got to figure something out, and he's going to have to look over at the Democrats in some way, shape, or form, because as Obamacare stands at this moment in time, it is eventually going to collapse under its own weight, and now it's time that we go, hey, Democrats, you better get involved.
The door to bipartisanship is open right now, not with repeal, but with an effort to improve the existing system.
I don't know. I don't know if that's possible, but I tell you one thing. When I look at what goes on in D.C., it's a federal thing. But a lot of this is broken up into the 50 states, right? So, you got this, and this. You're here, you're here. Each of them have their own insurance commissions, the whole nine yards. But the way that they do things is very interesting in the sense that you're kind of in charge of your own little fiefdom. And one thing that I'm starting to see more and more and hear more and more of is governors are starting to get involved and saying, wait a minute here, Republicans. Whatever you do there is going to affect our state. Our state, which this is my fiefdom, we're going to have to implement this. You guys need to start talking to us as well on how we can be a part of this. This is John Hickenlooper talking about that. He's the governor of Colorado. He talked to John Kasich about this as well.
I think most of us, John Kasich and I, for sure, think we should slow this down. Let's get Republicans and Democrats to work together. Let's get some governors involved with the senators. Governors are the ones who have to implement this.
Yeah, and that's a big issue. Governments, you know, governors are, you know, they are the kings, the presidents, the queens, whatever it is, of their states. They need to make sure this stuff goes in. And you're talking about, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And then we're going to hand it off to the state and you guys are going to have to do this. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. We need to figure this out. But he brings up a great point here. And it's the point that is always forgot over and over again. When it comes to health care in this country and the debate about health care, that they tend to forget. They'll say it sparingly, but they really tend to forget what the true issue is for a lot of people with health care.
We've got to control the inflation of medical costs, and we've got to control the inflation of Medicaid. But I think most of us agree we don't want to roll back who's covered. We don't want to have fewer people with health insurance.
No, we don't want fewer people. But we want people with good health insurance, affordable health insurance, and most importantly, and the most important thing that is always left out when we have discussions about this in healthcare is a better relationship between your health care provider, your doctor, the office of which you deal with, the nurses, the physician assistants, all of these, a better relationship between you two that is closer rather than further away. Controlling cost, vitally important. We could probably get cost and control and under control, but there's a lot of things that go into that as well, and they're not dealing with that. And you can't just say we need to get business out of healthcare. It doesn't work that way. Take money out of healthcare, and you know what you're going to have? A lot of volunteers and not enough people and not enough medicine and not enough ingenuity to move forward. So you can't do that. But there's ways of loosening regulations, getting rid of regulations, and allowing us to deal closer one-on-one and pull ourselves together in giant pools and work within a system that we used to have that will help us tremendously. But until then, we're going to get what we've always gotten over the last 8 years. Bureaucracy, a law, but not much service. And remember, we're customers. Customers, if they're unhappy with their service, they will take it elsewhere, meaning we could vote your ass out and find somebody who will treat us like the customer and respect us. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. The movie industry is being saved, literally, by superheroes. Chad Benson Show.
Get oily, greasy takeout when you can have fresh Chad 24/7, free of charge at ChadBensonShow.com. Click on Chad's podcast and enjoy freshly canned Chad. Catch the Chad Benson Show on iTunes too, and nibble to your heart's content.
Listen, I know school sucks.
Peter, you still with us?
Yeah.
I know you want to save the world, but you're not ready yet.
You're the Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, saving the movie industry, that is for sure. The movie industry is down big time. If it wasn't for superheroes literally being super, the movie industry would be really done for. Now, this weekend, Dunkirk is coming out, which should actually give the box office a boost. But, you know, I even now, it's like I took Jack and I went and saw Spider-Man on Saturday morning. When Saturday morning saw Spider-Man, I liked it. It was neat that he was much younger. I think he was only 14 is how old Spider-Man was in this. So that gives you kind of an idea. I always thought Spider-Man felt a little bit older in some of the other movies. So it was very interesting. But that's all that's out there. I mean, there has not been a lot of out there that people are looking forward to. And it used to be summertime was the boom. It was the box office. It was people exciting. But Hollywood is tired. It really is. And it also shows you how millennials are just shifting the world of watching television and just entertainment across the board. They are. They're changing so many things that and it's massive, and people need to understand how big it is, how much change is going on because of the millennials. Remember, they're the largest group now. It's not the baby boomers, not the Gen Xers. It is the millennials. There are 75+ million millennials out there, and I was up in Sacramento and talking to my friends at the station I work at out there and having some meetings yesterday. We were discussing stuff, but just the change in the way that millennials have changed everything. There wasn't a vast difference between the greatest generation, you know, the World War II generation, the greatest generation, and the baby boomers. And while things moved forward, there wasn't a massive gap in a lot of stuff. Technology grew, but not at lightning speed. Gen Xers came along after the baby boomers, and technology again changed, but it wasn't lightning speed. Then the millennials came, and technology exploded. And there is a vast difference between the Gen Xers and the millennials, a huge difference between the millennials and the baby boomers, and an off-the-wall, can't-even-rate-it kind of difference between the baby boomers and the millennials. And that includes entertainment. It's just a much different world. It really is. And they, you know, it took us a while to go from point A to point B. For them to go from point A to point B, it was instantaneous. And they went well past it. And they are shaping things. And people better understand that and get on board with the neat stuff that they're doing. Show them what, hey, we did things too that were cool. But I'm telling you, it is changing so much. And entertainment is the number one place you can look and see where change is happening. You can text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Tweet at us at Chad Benson Show, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. And like us on Facebook, Chad Benson Show. It is the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.